Reinvent is finally over, and with it has gone my voice. But we're going to do this anyway in two parts. First, the releases, and secondly, the event itself. Now, as far as the releases go, they announced DB2 support in RDS as a new engine. For those of you who are younger than, well, Taylor Swift, yeah, that sounds ancient, because it is. It's from 1983. It's an IBM database, and I'm sure one customer on a mainframe desperately needed it. Please don't use it for anything new, please. Amazon Q got the most attention of everything that came out because it's everywhere. It means a bunch of different things to a bunch of different people. I'm not entirely sure where it starts and where it stops. Mostly it's a chatbot that hangs out on all the marketing pages and gives bad answers. I don't like it. Most customers don't like it. We have to live with it. One Enterprise launched, which is a way of authenticating people for physical access via their handprint. Presumably this is something that people were asking for. I don't know. It's kind of goofy to me, but okay. Cost Optimization Hub launched, which is kind of great. It's a single place for all of your recommendations, and presumably they agree with each other. They also fixed the billing console while they were at it, which is going to be a big change for those of us who kind of live there. One of the nicest parts about it, of course, is that now you can see whether you're in the payer account or not. Get that wrong and you look somewhat foolish. CloudWatch now supports natural language work, so you can ask it in human terms, what's broken? I find it's hard for me to ask that to people using CloudWatch because it's so challenging as far as UX goes. Maybe this is better. We'll find out. Graviton 4 came out, which is the successor to Graviton 3, which is not basically available in quantities yet where a lot of folks can use it. Presumably, it'll get better. But really, people care more about GPUs than they do about CPUs, at least with the current zeitgeist. They announced new AWS-branded hardware that will be in my hands before this episode goes out there. I'm looking forward to using that to run an Amazon workspace locally. Q Code Transformation has been launched, which is apparently something that'll handle modernization and avoid deprecation issues for legacy code. I was excited till I realized in preview it only supports Java. If this works in other languages, this could be exciting. They launched a new S3 storage class, which is mostly going to be there to confuse people. It is single availability zone that you can specify. It is extremely low latency, and you probably don't want to use it except for analytics workloads or very specific machine learning training jobs. Be careful with that one. After 11 years of existence, 12 years, whatever it is now, CloudFormation finally has native Git support, which means that you can store whatever template you have in a Git repo and update through a GitOps flow. Thank you. This basically deprecates a whole bunch of various GitHub actions that I have lying around. Security Hub, after 5 years, now supports both multi-region and multi-account. This has been a constant request, and frankly, it's kind of annoying that it took this long. They announced Aurora Limitless Database, which sounds very evocative of Oracle's Autonomous Database, and it's something like the fifth way to scale Aurora, none of which seemed to really hit the spot for most of the customers using Aurora that I talked to. They also gave the free tier an API, so if this is you using AWS and don't want to spend money, you can query it via API, but that's something that expensive, sophisticated customers are able to do much more easily, so I don't really understand the story there. CloudWatch Logs gets anomaly detection, which is suddenly going to make that come to life if it works, because I want to get proactively notified when things odd show up in them. Now, that's a big caveat, if it works. It's still early. It's just been announced. We haven't figured that out yet. There were also a bunch of announcements about SageMaker that I am intentionally ignoring because a year and a half ago, SageMaker Canvas screwed me out of $260. They still have not made that right as of this recording. So when I go from customer to victim, my perspective on a service shifts. I will revisit that when I am made whole. I'm still waiting. There were 50 different generative AI announcements that are all in preview. I get it, it's in preview because they're not sure it works or not, obviously. And what makes it kind of worse is that every one of these things that I have seen has a better version in general availability from OpenAI. We'll come back to that point. They announced Repost Private, which is the idea of a version of Repost that's only for internal use. Well, no one's really using Repost itself. I'm wondering what specific customer wanted this. Like, there have been a bunch of internal knowledge-based style stuff. How does this differ from, I don't know, Confluence? You can now add a GraphQL API to any existing MySQL or Postgres database. And that's awesome, but I spent the last 2 weeks playing around with GraphQL before reInvent. I'm sorry, I like REST. It makes sense. REST just works for me. They launched AWS Detective for IAM investigations, which is yet another IAM analytics tool that costs money. It's not entirely clear to me in any meaningful way what exactly it does that other adjacent services don't do. I don't have the kind of budget it takes to explore all of these because, frankly, you turn on all of AWS's security services and it's still more expensive than the data breach that it's defending against. It's a tough business investment decision. Console to code exists, so now we can finally use the AWS console to create something and get the code outputted in either CDK or in, that might sound familiar. That's right, because Ian MacKay's console recorder has been around for years, has better coverage, supports more services, more actions, can output in more languages and formats, including Terraform, and is also not in preview the way that this thing is. Honestly, the pace of innovation at AWS has really dropped off. Now let's drill down a bit into my impressions of the event itself. I spent a lot of time last week talking to customers of all shapes and sizes and also AWS employees because I live in a weird bubble. So that means that very often the thoughts that I have are going to be colored by what I care about. I don't know that that necessarily is fair. So I want to make sure that I'm not poisoning the well. The themes that have emerged are pretty interesting. First and foremost, across the board, there was way too much overemphasis on generative AI. It is very clearly hastily implemented on AWS's part, and as a result, it comes off making Amazon look more than a little bit foolish. It also poses significant brand risk because most companies don't have a widget in the corner answering questions badly about the service. I mean, look, every customer is gently exploring generative AI in some form, yes, but I have yet to find one that wants AWS to do that for them in any meaningful way. AWS is viewed very strongly as an infrastructure company, and that's where it starts and stops, with remarkably few exceptions like model training jobs or providing the GPUs. Generative AI is seen as being further up the stack than whatever AWS has historically demonstrated competence with. So the show itself was emphasizing that far too much. The show also was way too much all at once, which has been a common refrain every year because it's a fire hose, but there's a nuance this year. Increasingly, there are far fewer releases of interest during the rest of the year, and then everything hits all at once. Easy example that I just mentioned is Security Hub getting multi-region and multi-account support. Why would you hold that release for reInvent? That is just a feature that is frankly a bit embarrassing that hasn't existed before. Let's dance about it on stage now because it finally exists. That's foolish. And similarly, everything that was announced and got all of that attention on stage centered around generative AI. And all of it was so very clearly launched after ChatGPT came out a year ago. All of it is half-baked at best, clearly the result of a crash program, and it paradoxically makes Amazon look further behind in generative AI than they did before any of these launches. I posit that they don't need to be the leader in generative AI, because they're not, and customers don't want them to be. Maybe the market does. Maybe their competitors are applying pressure. But I'm old. I'm old enough to remember all of the Andy Jassy AWS keynotes when he kept hitting the very key point of Amazon being customer obsessed. Take the QChat widget on the AWS marketing site as an example. CloudTrail management events fire from that in the account if you're logged into it in another tab. That is terrifying if you're logged into a customer account, for example. That's not customer focused. I've not seen a customer yet that likes any chatbot in the corner, let alone this one. And it gets astronomically worse when what feels an awful lot like security boundaries between the AWS console you're logged into and the AWS marketing site start breaking down. And for what? In service of chasing industry hype. It is absolutely terrifying to customers like all of us who depend on AWS taking proper care of the infrastructure that matters and not getting distracted by generative AI. There was, in other areas, obviously much more of a focus on cost optimization this year, because not giving a crap about the AWS bill is a zero interest rate phenomenon. Now that money means something again, we're seeing an awful lot of this at my day job, the Duckbill Group, where we spend all of our time fixing the horrifying AWS bill. I don't often talk about them because it sounds like I'm carping about competitors, which I don't see them as, but the software vendors in this space are all increasingly looking less differentiated, and that comes from their customers. It seems like everyone's trying to build a better cost explorer or recommendation engine. The problem with doing that is that those are just expensive versions of cost explorer or compute optimizer that AWS has built, and they have both markedly improved over the past year. I don't think it's a path to success by trying to innovate on the same rails that AWS is clearly innovating on. In other areas, there have been definite hits to AWS employee morale over the past year. Something that I suspect that the Amazon leadership misses is that customers really like the people they know who work at AWS and are distressed to see them seemingly mistreated. It's subtle. But there has been a definite undercurrent of less love for AWS, the company, than I've ever seen at a reInvent before. Now, that's the negatives. There were a lot of bright spots as well. I know it's easy to focus on the negatives. AWS employees are clearly the important one. They remain some of the smartest people I have ever had the privilege to speak with. They are building and running very complicated things at a scale that is hard to conceive. And they're doing this with a quiet competence that means that somehow this modern string of miracles has become boring to the rest of us on the outside. And lastly, I want to close this off by highlighting something that never gets enough attention. The people responsible for putting on reInvent itself have been absolutely phenomenal. It is a tremendous amount of thankless, unseen work, and I just want to say that I see you. I've talked to some of you. I've talked to customers about you. You are all stars, and whatever else I am first and foremost an AWS customer. I am here as a customer, and as a customer, thank you for making this conference exist, and I look forward to seeing you somehow do it again next year.